You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. The BAFTAs take place this weekend, and we here at RNIB Connect Radio were very excited when the nominations were released to see that a documentary film we have been following closely, Notes on Blindness, based on the original audio recordings of John Hull, had been nominated for three of the top awards: Best Documentary, Outstanding British Film, and Outstanding Debut by a British Writer, Director or Producer. I'm joined on the line now with Peter Middleton, producer, writer and director of the film, along with his partner James Spinney. First of all, Peter, congratulations to you, James, and producer Jojo Ellison.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been really wonderful to see the film get such recognition. Yeah.
And how are you feeling about being nominated for these three awards?
I mean, it's extraordinary, really. For a little independent film like ours, I mean, when we look at where we started from sort of 5 years ago, we thought we were, when we first met John, we were sort of working on a sort of experimental little independent film. So to be in this position here today and to be sort of rubbing shoulders with the great and good of Hollywood is quite an extraordinary journey.
Was there a point during editing, and I'm thinking here of some of the standout scenes in the film, such as John reaching his breaking point at Christmas or the beautiful scene in the rain, where you thought, we've got something really special here?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we were, as soon as we came across John's diaries, it was initially published in a book in the early 1980s called Touching the Rock, and certainly once we heard the tapes themselves on which his diaries were based, we knew that there was something quite special in there. And we knew that there was those particular scenes that you mentioned, the rainfall scenes, some of these powerful, rich and kind of evocative dreams that John experiences after losing sight. It was really kind of cinematic material that warranted adaptation into a long-form film. So we were captivated, really, by John's use of language, by the evocative nature of the way that he was able to depict and describe the blind experience.
This evening, I came out the front door of the house and it was raining. I stood for a few minutes, lost in the beauty of it. Rain brings out the contours of what's around you, in that it introduces a blanket of differentiated and specialised sound which fills the whole of the audible environment.
I thought as well with the film it was so interesting because obviously you use John's original audio recordings to narrate the documentary, but you also keep in a lot of those precious moments where his kids sort of take over and they want to play with the tape recorder. So we've got their voices on it as well as his wife Marilyn's voice in the background. How much of that was it a case of, well, let's keep this in because it's an important moment, and how much of that was, we really need to put across what John's going through with his sight loss journey?
Yeah, there's kind of three sort of sources of material which we drew upon. That John kept this audio archive, his diaries, around 60 hours across 3 years after he'd lost sight. But alongside that, we also, actually about 6 months before we started shooting, John and his wife Marilyn discovered another box of cassettes. And in that was all of the voices of the family, including his children. John would set up tape recorders at Christmas or on special occasions and record the voices of the children. Also his parents as well, they'd send audio tapes back and forth from Australia where his parents were listening. And then we also recorded interviews with John and Marilyn, interviews, but they were more sort of just conversations, really. So we have their present day voices in the film. And then it was really a question of kind of interweaving these voices and so trying to mould this material together into a kind of coherent narrative. They're really the documentary elements that we were working with. But the voices of the family really provide a kind of grounding, a sort of a heart of the film. So yeah, incredibly important.
And ultimately, you do break the film down to a very easy to watch 88 minutes. But how many hours of audio recordings did you and the team have to go through to break that down?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to put a number on it. As I say, there's 16 hours of John's original diaries, probably a comparable amount of family recordings, which include his daughter's radio show as well. His daughter Imogen sort of kept her own recordings. There's about 12 hours of that alone. And then I guess we must have recorded 20 hours of conversations with John and Marilyn. So yeah, something edging up to 80 to 100 hours of audio probably in total. But it was a long process. We kind of spent about 3 or 4 years sort of whittling that down, trying to excavate from that what became the 88 minutes that the film plays at.
Well, you have done a really incredible job putting it all together. And as I said, the film seems so unique in its presentation, from the use of John's original tapes to narrate the documentary to the amazing sound design used throughout the piece. Were you constantly aware that the film you were making should have as much impact for viewers with a visual impairment as to a fully sighted audience?
Absolutely. I mean, from the start, really, when we first started our early conversations with John, actually, in the forward to his book, he mentions that, you know, he very much saw the process of keeping the diaries and sharing the diaries as a means of kind of communicating something of the blind experience, of his blind experience. It's kind of conscious not to claim to be speaking on behalf or for anybody else but other than himself. But he does also say that that his recordings, his diaries, may well be of use to other people who have passed his way, who have had a similar experience of sight loss, perhaps. So we knew very early on that it was very important that John's story would be accessible for blind and partially sighted audiences. And we worked very closely, actually, with the RNIB and with some leading practitioners and audio describers to try and ensure that it was accessible, to also try and start a conversation about new approaches to accessibility. So we also released a version of the film, as well as the standard audio description version, I suppose. We also released a version that had enhanced sound design. So rather than relying on an external narrator, as would be the case in the audio description, instead it brings in more narration from John and from Marilyn themselves, as well as new music cues and sound design to try and tell the story through sound. In fact, we kind of edited that version of it with the picture off, so it works as a kind of coherent sound piece. And that played in cinemas as well, so blind and partially sighted audiences could experience it in full kind of surround 5.1 sound. And then we also released a partnership with Movie Reading app, which allowed these different kind of soundtrack options to be downloaded to smartphones in advance. So you weren't reliant on the kind of hardware of cinemas providing audio description, and you could play it yourself in cinemas. So yeah, lots of different kind of ideas and experimental ways of trying to ensure that the film was accessible.
It was a fantastic cinematic release, but I've noticed as well that the version that you can actually buy now on DVD and Blu-ray has all those elements that you've spoke about incorporated into it, so you can get multiple versions of the experience, the accessible experience, including, am I right in thinking that Stephen Mangan does the audio description for one of the versions?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Stephen was very generous at his time and came in and recorded a version for us. So yeah, that's right. They're all available on the DVD and the Blu-ray, which will be out soon. Also, the film's playing on the BBC next Thursday on the 16th, and the options will be available through the Red Button service on that. And also, if you watch it on demand, several of the sort of the on-demand platforms, BFI Player and Curzon, also have the different options, and if you sort of purchase the film through that, it will allow you to choose the different options to select from. Yeah,
I genuinely think it is amazing how much thought you and the team have put into the accessible nature of the movie. Obviously, because the subject matter is so much about John's journey with sight loss and the struggles that he has accepting his sight loss and then moving on from there. I'm glad it has been recognised at the BAFTAs for the award ceremony, but how do you guys rate your chances going into this weekend?
I think if you're in the room, you're probably in contention, but I think there's certainly in some of those categories we'd probably be considered the outside bet. You know, we're up against Ken Loach's Daniel Blake in one of them, and Andrew Arnold's American Honey. So yeah, I mean, we're just really thrilled to even be there. And if we come away with anything, that would be incredible. But we're not exactly holding our breath.
When I saw the film, I thought, I think this could be a Best Documentary contender, but it was fantastic to see that you were also nominated for Outstanding British Film and Outstanding Debut by a British Writer, Director or Producer. Were you and the team overwhelmed?
We certainly weren't expecting three nominations. Yeah, it's remarkable. And it's great as well, not just for us ourselves, James and myself and our producers, but there's a kind of a trickle down that hopefully benefits our entire crew, so many of whom worked tirelessly for years on the project. Yeah. And of course, the family, Marilyn and John's children. So it's just been quite a ride so far.
Massive congratulations from all of us here at RNIB Connect Radio. And I'm sure a huge portion of our audience have seen the film as well. We'll be wishing you all the best going into this weekend. Now, before I let you go, Peter, what future projects do you currently have in the pipeline?
We're keeping our cards close to our chest at the moment. We're working on a few little things, but nothing we can really talk publicly about. So we did release another short film since Notes and Blinds came out, which is kind of connected to it. So it actually talks about Dom's daughter, Imogen, who, as I mentioned, recorded those mock radio shows throughout Notes and Blinds. And it's based on her experiences, her relationship with her father, and her kind of reflections on his influence on her life and that grieving process since John passed away. And that's available online. It picks up from where Notes and Blindness leaves off, really, and catches up on the last few decades of John's life. So that certainly kept us busy throughout the end of last year. And I'm sure there'll be plenty to keep us busy as 2017 progresses.
Well, I'll be sure to check those out, and I will be keeping an eye on your progress going forward.
Thank you.
Now, you have told us a couple of places where we can see the film going into next week, but where can RNIB Connect Radio audience go to find out more information?
The best place is probably at www.notesandblindness.co.uk. There's information on there about how to see the film, but also about some of the accessibility options that we talked through as well, including a comparison video, actually, which actually takes one scene and shows how it's kind of been treated in four different versions of the film. So, yeah, that's probably the best place to check that out.
I do think Notes and Blindness is an incredibly fitting tribute to John Hull and to the people who have gone through sight loss journeys. So Peter Middleton, writer, director and producer of Notes and Blindness, good luck this weekend at the BAFTAs.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.